Well, I'm going to see if I have any voice left. This is at the request of some of our intercessors who said, how come you don't share some of the things you share elsewhere? So, we're off to see the Spirit, the wonderful Spirit of God, because of his wonderful love for us. Now, that will become relevant in a couple minutes. But this morning, I want to talk with you about dealing with delay. How many of you have ever had anything delayed? Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts and plans for welfare and peace and not for evil, to give you a hope in your final outcome. While we walk the path of our destiny, occasionally we encounter delay in various forms and degrees. I remember in graduate school, it was one delay after another until your advisor decides it's time for you to leave. How you respond to and how you handle delay can determine when or if you will achieve the destiny Father has intended for you in his kingdom plan. In the message, Jeremiah 29:11 reads, I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out, plans to take care of you, not abandon you, plans to give you the future you hope for. So this morning I want to look at four tens to see how God gives us insight in dealing with delay, Sabaoth way. The first is Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 5. I entitle it, It's Time to Get Past Our Scarecrows. The amplified version of Jeremiah 10:5 reads, their idols are like pillars of turned work, as upright and stationary and immobile as a palm tree. Like scarecrows in a cucumber field, they cannot speak. They have to be carried, for they cannot walk. Do not be afraid of them, for they cannot do evil. Neither is it possible for them to do good, and it is not in them. The message translation of Jeremiah 10:5 reads, it's like a scarecrow in a cabbage patch, can't talk. Dead wood that has to be carried, can't walk. Don't be impressed by such stuff. It's useless for either good or evil. So we have to take authority and get rid of the idolatry structures in our lives, our scarecrows, those things that we've set up that can't do anything without the breath of the Lord. The enemy is not in control of time and delay. Let me repeat that. The enemy is not in control of time and delay. The enemy does not govern timing. The enemy tries to change the time and the way that we move in time. He will try to intimidate you or harass you to create fear and the purpose of causing you to get out of Father's timing. When you are out of Father's timing, you open yourself up to the manifestations of delay. Do you remember the movie Wizard of Oz? Most of you are young enough to remember that movie. That movie is all about the process of delay and the enemy's attempt to keep you from attaining something. Almost at the end of the movie, Dorothy and the Tin Man and the Scarecrow and the Lion are in this magnificent room in front of this great force, shuddering and cowering, wondering if they're ever going to get what it was that they started out seeking. And with lots of huff and puff, just like our enemy, the Wizard of Oz is trying to frighten them away from what was theirs from before they started their journey, the promise of God. They cower in fear before the curtain, the smoke and the thundering bass of the voice of the Wizard of Oz, who had already known that he didn't have the ability to give them what they wanted: courage, a brain, a heart, and a home. He already knew he couldn't do it. The enemy can't do it either. So he just decided he was going to put on a light show and a smoke and whistle show. So just like the demons of hell, he tries to intimidate them into forgetting who they are and what they're doing. But all of a sudden, this little angel shows up. Woof, woof, woof. Oh, I mean Toto. And pulls away the curtain of deception that was hiding the wizard. You know, God has an angel waning to pull away that thing that has been shielding you from the promise and keeping you from seeing, removing the veils of darkness that the enemy has put over us. The enemy will try to conceal the truth, and if he can't conceal it, he'll twist it and sow doubt into it so that you'll come into agreement with the lie of the enemy instead of fulfilling your destiny. See, your imagination is part of the scarecrow structure of idolatry. God's given us an imagination so that we will dream with him, so that he can dream through us. But we get off into these alleys and these what-ifs, and the enemy starts sowing in doubts and unbeliefs into our dreams, and all of a sudden we're lollygagging over here in the gully in the swamp, and the Lord has the promised land for us over here, and we can't see how to get there. Because the scarecrows of idolatry in our life dwell in our imagination. Right before I delivered this message, we were taking care of Sam and Lily while Bill and Rebecca were on that medical missions trip in Honduras. And they have, I don't know what he is, he's Stonewall Jackson the something, 29th. They have a German Shepherd. It's a huge dog. They could probably put a saddle on it and ride him. But Sam's job every day, one of his chores, is to feed the dog. Well, I noticed that the starlings were coming and grabbing the food, and he'd hear this crunch, and he'd say, "Oh, that's Jack. That's his nickname. That's Jack eating." "No, it's not Jack eating." And so I said, "Sam, you can be a scarecrow." "Well, what's a scarecrow?" "Well, you just open up the door and poof, and they fly away." So for a week, we're watching Sam open the door and poof, and just giggle and laugh because all the birds fly away. See, scarecrows keep us from our promise. Scarecrows keep us from intimacy with the Lord. Our idols hinder intimacy. The enemy can and he will use the unsanctified regions of your imagination as part of his occult or hidden structure to try and get you to enter into his timing and not enter into your ordained destiny. See, if you can get rid of the scarecrows or the idols in your life, if you don't get rid of them, you may find yourself in the same place as the tribe of Dan. In Judges 18, we read that the sons of Dan stole Micah's household idols, then burned the peaceful, undefended city of Laish, and set up the stolen idols in the city and established a place of false worship. This is what the tribe of Dan did. Perhaps this is one of the reasons why the tribe of Dan is not sealed as one of the 12 tribes in the book of Revelation, because they settled for the scarecrows of idolatry instead of intimacy with the Lord. God will not give his glory to another. So number one, deal with your scarecrows. Number two, the second 10, is Joshua chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. I call this changing the course. Then Joshua spoke to the Lord on the day when the Lord gave the Amorites over to the Israelites. And he said in the sight of Israel, "Son, be silent and stand still at Gibeon." and you, moon, in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still and the moon stayed until the nation took vengeance on their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of the heavens and did not hasten to go down for about a whole day. What's this? The sun delayed? Why, everyone knows that's preposterous. Can't possibly happen. But God. So why did this happen? It happened because Joshua was controlling the delay instead of being controlled by it. Joshua controlled the delay instead of being controlled by it. He controlled the sun in its course that day. This is the display of apostolic government. God gave us a picture of that. Now, science has confirmed in all of our astrophysics that they can account for everything but 24 hours and 10 minutes in what they think is the history of time. 24 hours that the sun stood still, the 10 minutes that God gave as a sign to Hezekiah through Isaiah when the light went back 10 steps up the stairs because it was too easy for the sun to go forward. There's a level of government that God wants us to move into in the days ahead that will at times change and alter how things move. Didn't Jesus say that if you had faith, you could say to this mountain? Didn't he say you could speak to this tree? Well, that's the government of God being manifest in the earth. So it's time to engage what God has appointed for you to govern. In Genesis 1:16, the Amplified says, "And God made the two great lights, the greater light, the sun, to rule the day, and the lesser light, the moon, to rule the night. He also made the stars." So he made the sun to have dominion over the day, and he made the moon to have dominion over the night. They have dominion over when things begin and when things end, when things awake and when things sleep. It's interesting, when we're in Honduras, it's dark by 6:30 every night, all year round, because they're so close to the equator. So here I am expecting it to be like 9 o'clock at night because it's the longest day of the year. No, it's dinner time. God has put the sun in its place to have dominion over the day and the moon to have dominion over the night. People change their habits, unless you've got electric light bulbs. We were eating dinner one night and all the lights in the city went out. It's a good thing I can eat in the dark. I can eat almost anywhere. But people stopped because they didn't know what to do because there was no more light. In biblical times, when the sun went down, you better be indoors. In Honduras, when the sun goes down, you better be indoors or you better have some light. It's not a safe place. When you're dealing with timing issues, things that need to start or stop, you need to consider the role of the sun, the moon, and the stars. See, God has a process that he established in the heavens, because the sun, the moon, and the stars are part of God's government over the process. God wants us to engage with creation that he's assigned for us to govern. Most of us just think of that as taking care of our yards. But he has something much more kingdom-minded for you to do. So think about it. Does your enemy hate you? No, the devil loves you. Does your enemy hate you? Yes. If you're not sure, let me tell you what Jesus said about him in John 10:10. The thief comes in order to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So that aptly defines your enemy. The devil will tell you that he's going to change the timing But remember that he's the liar and the father of lies. He cannot change time. He can't do it. Never could, never will be able to. Do you know that if the sun stood still, scientifically, for a fraction of a second, or if it shifted just a fraction of a millimeter, we'd all be toast. Do you know if the Earth shifted its orbit just slightly, we would either freeze or we'd fry, depending where we were relative to the sun. Do you think that if the enemy could change time, which is just our rotation and our circumventing of the sun, circling the sun, if the enemy could change time, we'd all be toast by now. His goal was to wipe out the seed of the woman. Well, why not make a barbecue? He can't do it. That makes it all the more amazing that God would listen to Joshua and cause the sun to stand still. So, your enemy hates you. Why would he take several millennia to decide to move the sun or make it stand still or to change the place where the moon is? Because if he changes where the moon is, then their gravitational forces on the earth change. Well, why doesn't he just send a meteor to crash into the earth and destroy us? Because he can't do it. Doesn't that make you feel good? Only God can bring those things. And there's plenty of scriptures that says God brings the good and the bad. The answer is the enemy cannot change time or timing. He tries. Let me give you two other examples. In Exodus chapter 10, verse 21 and 22, the Amplified says, "And the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward the heavens, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, a darkness which may be felt. So Moses stretched out his hand toward the sky, and for 3 days a thick darkness was over all the land of Egypt." This is the ninth plague, the plague of darkness. So here's another example where God entrusted man to exercise dominion over his creation and perform a miracle on the earth. In Judges chapter 5, verses 19 through 21, the Amplified reads, "And the kings came and fought, then fought the kings of Canaan at Taanach by the waters of Megiddo. Gain of booty they did not obtain. From the heavens the stars fought. From their courses they fought against Sisera. The torrent Kishon swept the foe away. The onrushing torrent, the torrent Kishon, O my soul, march on with strength." This is the account of Deborah versus the Canaanite king. And we get so caught up with Jael on the tent peg, flashing it through Sisera's brain and pinning him to the floor, that we overlook the major miracle that God did. Verse 20 tells us that the stars fought from heaven for Deborah and the Israelites, that they caused the river Kishon to overflow its banks. I just told you a minute ago that if you change the position of the moon, it changes the tidal and the gravitational. Same thing with the stars. When the stars fought for Kishon, all of a sudden, the river Kishon overflowed and wiped out all their enemies. Can you say divine intervention? How would you like to have the Lord move like that in the face of all of your enemies that are about to overrun you? You know, Deborah didn't have a real bold, godly man going with her. Well, if you go with me, I'll go. But she had the stars fighting on her behalf. God uses the sun, the moon, and the stars as part of the boundaries and the restrictions that he has set on the devil. The devil cannot step across God's boundaries. He cannot move those things that God has put in place. Otherwise, he would have done it and we wouldn't be here today. Number three, Revelation chapter 10, verses 5 and 6. I call this the sound that engages getting the sound. The Amplified reads, "Then the mighty angel whom I had seen stationed on the sea and land raised his right hand to heaven, the sky, and swore in the name of by him who lives forever and ever, who created the heavens, the sky, and all they contain, the earth and all that it contains, and the sea and all that it contains. He swore that no more time should intervene and there should be no more waiting or delay. There will be no more delay. God is in control of the timing." See, Father puts the sound of no more delay into his angels. Isn't that what this mighty angel said? There will be no more delay. Well, what is that sound that Father puts into his angels? It's the sound that engages. I don't know about you, but I do not believe angels are little pretty pixie fairy little creatures that flutter around. They are powerful, awesome beings that have the life and the power of God in them. The first thing of the sound that engages is it is a Sabaoth sound. The sound always originates from the Lord of creation and the Lord of the angels. His name is Jehovah Sabaoth, S-A-B-A-B-O-T-H. It is a Sabaoth sound. It is his very nature that he speaks into his angels. The second point, it is a mighty sound. The seven angels who stand before the face of God receive this sound. Constantly they are receiving this sound of the Lord. The archangel Gabriel is one of those angels. Gabriel means mighty of God. The mighty sound is the kind of sound that God wants us operating in. No more of this milquetoast, so would you, Lord? Or God, can you? That's doubt and unbelief. My Bible says he can do all things. That his arm is not too short and there is nothing too difficult for him. The third point is, it is a shofar sound. The seven angels release the sound with trumpets and send it forth. And this is the sound that moves creation. Joshua 6 tells us how Joshua got activated to take his stand in the valley of Ajalon in Joshua 10. In Joshua chapter 6, we see that he was first activated by a Sabaoth sound. God spoke specifically to Joshua about specifics. When God comes to you, he doesn't give you a vague plan. He's very detailed, and he gives you the very specific tactics and strategies he wants you to follow. And then they did exactly as God instructed them. Didn't he tell Joshua, this is what you're going to do, here's where you're going to cross, here's what the priests are going to do, they're each going to take up a rock, you're going to do these things with the 12 rocks. They did exactly what he said. We compromise the word of God because we might feel foolish doing it. See, this is key. It's not by might nor by power, nor by anything that the mind of man thinks he can add to the word of God. God is Jehovah Sabaoth, and his will alone allows us to engage the sound that changes times. The second thing that we see in Joshua 6 is that he was activated by a mighty sound of seven priests who went out before the ark. If you read the account of Jericho carefully, only the seven priests were allowed to sound and blow the horn. They were the only ones, those seven. The third thing is Joshua is activated by a shofar sound. The priests sounded the tekiah, a single sharp sound on the shofar. That was the sound that they sounded. And the fourth thing is Joshua was activated by a mighty sound. Joshua shouted the teruah, which is the victory sound of high praise. In Joshua chapter 6, the end of verse 20 reads, "When the people heard the sound of the trumpet, they raised a great shout, and Jericho's walls fell down in its place, so that the Israelites went up into the city, every man straight before him, and took the city." There is a point where everything shifts. Now, personally, I believe when the Bible says that the walls came straight down, that they went straight into the earth. I have two reasons for believing that. My Bible says they went straight up in, didn't say they climbed over the rubble, and Rahab was at the top of that wall with her family. And she had no bruises or scrapes. So if the wall went straight down in, is there a biblical precedent for that? Yeah. Dathan and Abiram, when the earth opened up and swallowed them and then closed back up again. They can't find the walls. They're going to have to dig up all the dirt. But I like to picture what I read. Everything shifts at that point. This is Joshua 6. Now in Joshua 10 in the Valley of Ajalon, this may be why Joshua was able to stand and address the sun, the moon, and the stars, because he had received the sound of Jehovah Sabaoth when they went to war and crossed into the promised land. As we read already in Joshua 10, verses 12 and 13, Joshua set the delay. He controlled the battle by commanding the sun to stand still and be delayed for a day. And the fourth 10, Zechariah chapter 10, verses 4 and 5, I call this, "It's time to finish the transaction." Zechariah 10, 4 and 5 in the Amplified reads, "Out of him, Judah, shall come forth the cornerstone, and out of him the tent peg, out of him the battle bow. Every ruler shall proceed from him, and they shall be like mighty men treading down their enemies in the mire of the streets in the battle. And they shall fight because the Lord is with them. And the oppressors' riders on horses shall be confounded and put to shame." There is no more time or opportunity for delay. It is time to finish the transaction. A lot of times we don't finish because we never start what the Lord sets before us. Well, I don't like to leave a project part done. I don't either. But that's no reason to not start. Well, I don't like to get into this, and I don't like to do this. Well, a lot of the reasons why we have delay in our lives is because we've never completed the transactions that Father requires for us to complete to inherit his promises for our lives. God has given us a sound connected with his authority. This morning, during the prayer time, I had this vision. I've always had this picture that I had to look up to see God. And he just showed me this void like Niagara Falls, only it was circular. And praises from all over creation were just flowing into this like light, as fast as they could fly into this hole. And God was in the center of it, receiving all of our praises. He has given us a sound that's connected with his authority. And too often we think that it's going to be 30 or 40 minutes on a Sunday morning that we release that sound. But when you begin to worship him, that place that I saw was the throne that he establishes in your presence, in your midst. And all of the sound and authority of heaven and earth and creation is flowing into him at that place. When you begin to praise him, all of those sounds are available to us. Do we hear them all? No, it'll probably blow our ears apart. Because worship in heaven is not quiet. Sorry for those of you who need earplugs on the earth. He'll give you new ears in heaven. Only God determines when things start and when things stop, and we have to listen to his sound so that we can engage it like Joshua did, like Jesus did. Until he heard Father say, "Speak to the water and turn it to wine," he didn't do it. Until he heard Father say, "Now is the time to call Lazarus forth," he didn't issue the sound that brought life to the dead. We need to be so in tune with Father that when he says, "Now I want you to do this," you can speak it and know that all of the power of heaven is going to flow through you on the earth to accomplish Father's will. He's the only one who knows when things start or stop. He's the only one who knows when things move or when things come to rest. I do thank God for those of you who were praying for Jess because her car came to rest just before a tree. At 70 miles an hour, 30 feet off the road. Someone said something to me when I mentioned that the next night at the service we were speaking at in Honduras. And I said, the Lord has his angels prepared, but they're waiting for us. I thank God for our intercessors who were praying, not just for me, but for us, because the angels hear your voice and respond. If you allow God to develop his character in you during your delay, delay does not bring defeat. Well, I wish God would hurry up. I sure am ready for the next step. And God's sitting there, not. He invented the language, by the way. See, he won't give me that next step until I'm mature enough in his character to handle the authority that has to come in that next step. Unlike our public school systems that will promote me to the third grade because I'm 20 years old. Even though I can't spell cat, it does start with a K, right? God will not promote you until you're ready. See, our delays are his way of developing his character in us. I never heard a scripture, maybe it's in the first me version, "Oh, woe is me." God speaking to Holy Spirit, "Oh, woe is me." God speaking to Jesus, "Oh, woe is me." See, God is in control. He wants to develop his character in you during the delays. I can't begin to fathom, knowing how finite time is, the reaches of eternity, and God outside of it all, holding it in his hand, saying, "This is exactly when my son's going to come. This is exactly when my son's going to die. This is exactly when I'm going to raise him from the dead. And this is exactly when Al Houck is going to live." If you allow Holy Spirit to work in you, change will bring you to a new level of authority. Yes. Ask the Lord if you are in delay in your transactions, now your transactions could be financial, they could be physical, they could be healing needs, they could be relational issues, they could be the ability to conceive, barrenness is a delay, they could be forgiveness. You can look at all of the things that are delays in our lives, in our souls, in our spirits. Ask God, if you are in a delay in your transactions, because you haven't learned what he's trying to teach you. Ask the Lord to reveal any delayed transaction. A lot of times we'll skip over something because we didn't want to deal with it. And we're wondering now, 10 years down the road, why we're not quite able to get the breakthrough we need. Because what I needed back there, I skipped over. I never went through the character development that was necessary to walk in the level of authority that Father wants us to walk in. See, I don't know if we fully understand. He said you are his ambassador on the earth. You are his signet ring on the earth. He wants our character to be so like his that when he sends you to talk to the President of the United States or the governor of your state or some other nation, that you carry the word of the throne room of God with you and the authority of the throne of God with you. That's the ambassador. That's why we need godly statesmen and women as our ambassadors. Because they're representing us, my personal opinion now, illicitly. Because they're not representing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Father wants us to walk in that level of character and authority. If Holy Spirit is revealing a delayed transaction to you, I'm purposely delaying. Because this is only if you hear Holy Spirit saying you have delayed in this transaction. That you clearly hear or see a transaction you have delayed in. I want you to stand to your feet. You know you've got something that you're delayed in. I'm standing. You don't have to stand unless you know you've got one. But I know I've got some delay. I see it on the horizon about to break. Do you believe that the Lord has given you authority in your word? Now, you have a transaction that's delayed. I care, but I don't want... It's not between you and me, it's between you and God. It's between you and that transaction. Verbally, tell that transaction to be finished. Command it, decree it. Transaction be finished. You know what it is. If it's financial, decree that financial. If it's healing, decree that healing. Be finished. Whatever that transaction is right now, tell it to be finished. See, just like Jesus on the cross, when it is finished, the next level of resurrection power comes to you. Jesus said it was finished, and the next time we hear from him was with a new level of resurrection power. So when you tell that transaction to finish, if the enemy starts to whisper to you, nail him to the cross. I judge you in the blood of the cross. That transaction is finished. Today is the day there will be no more delay. When we ministered this message in Dallas at the beginning of May, 3 days later I got a message from one of the women who heard it. She had stood. She said, I made a decree. My mother's estate had not sold in 6 years. It sold on the Monday after the conference. She stood up and made the decree that the delay was done, that the transaction is finished. Father, I thank you for my brothers and sisters who have stood at your word. And I decree their transaction is finished in agreement with them. Lord, you said where two or more come into agreement in your name, there you will be in our midst. And I say, Jesus, I agree with them in your name. I decree these transactions finished. And I say, let there be the manifestation of them now in the earth realm. I say to delay, delay, you are done. I decree their delay be done now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I call forth the divine promise of healing to those who need healing. I call forth the divine promise of right relationships to those who need right relationships. I break off the curse of barrenness to those who have been delayed in bearing. I say to those who have need of finances that the transactions are now in place. And I call them forth and I say to the angels that gather, go forth and gather in the provision that Father has made for their faith in Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you and praise you that you have called us by your name, that you've created us in your image and in your likeness, and you've asked us to be your ambassadors in the earth. Father, for my brothers and sisters, I say, give us the ability to hear your voice. Birth greater faith in our heart to speak with boldness and courage and to decree the things that you decree, and to see them come to pass. Lord, even use us as signs and wonders that will cause those around us to draw nigh to you. Lord, I thank you and praise you that the delay is done in your name. Amen and amen. I love you all. Have a blessed week.